You're listening to Wyong Baptist Church's podcast of our Sunday messages. You can find out more about Wyong Baptist from our website, www.wyongbaptist.org.
Good morning, church. This morning's Bible reading is from Matthew 14, starting from 22 through to 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Now, when Beth first got up on the stage this morning, I thought that must have been a skit. I thought, this is so well done. And have Cindy sitting in the front row and kind of all cued and prepped to come up. I thought, this seems so natural. So I don't know what the point of it was really, but I was really engrossed in what was happening. Perhaps the point that we need to trust in the Lord. And that's very apt for our message this morning. There is a handout which would be helpful for you to be able to look at and to follow through. I had a deacon who turned up one Sunday morning. It was the Bathurst 1000 races. And he was mad into motorsports. He said, "Oh, I hope the sermon's quick today." Looked down and there was 10 points. And went, "Oh, no." But just to assure you that I can move through points fairly quickly. So if you think, "Oh, hang on, he's up to point four, what happened to point three?" It probably just means that you spaced in that time. And that's all good. I've shared a little bit before about my experiences as a chaplain with Boys Brigade and their leadership development course. Now, LDC is basically for youth of about 15, 16, 17, that kind of age. But I was chaplain for 26 years. And it was a real joy and privilege in my life. And I worked out in that time that being about a week in length. Something's echoing up here. Is that the other mic or something? Maybe that's just me. That was equivalent to half a year of my life. But it was a mixture of many things. But it also involved practical outdoor activities such as low ropes and high ropes. I never did quite master the high ropes, except for later in life, towards the end. But one of the activities we did was abseiling. Now, I need to confess that I'm afraid of heights. So even the thought of having to climb this ladder up onto this small platform was terrifying enough, let alone having to come down by a way that I wouldn't call being natural. Now, being about 20 years ago, this was before WHS and all those things. So when I talk about a ladder, it was rickety. None of our kind of modern aluminium frames, but literally a wooden ladder pulled out of a back paddock, tied together with rope. So it wasn't particularly strong or stable. And then, of course, you get onto this narrow platform. And it seems to me, as you're looking down, that this is a very silly way to get down to the ground. Surely it would make more sense to climb down, whoops, I forgot, the ladder's not very stable, and be on the ground, feet firmly planted on the ground, which is what man and woman were made for. But I have to say, as scary as it is going backwards, at least then you're not looking at the ground, and so you could close your eyes. In fact, I might have done that. But the thing that's even scarier and stranger is those who go down forwards. And so they're actually facing their fear and facing the ground as they abseil down. Now, being 15, 16, 17-year-olds, and some of them kind of being new at this game, and some older who are new at this game, some of their initial attempts were a little bit clumsy when they went forward. They kind of lose their posture a little bit. But it involves trust. And this story that we're looking at this morning, which is one which is very familiar to us, I'm sure, involves trust. And we're particularly going to be looking at a man by the name of Peter. Yes, Jesus comes in the story too. Jesus is very much key to this story. But a man by the name of Peter, as he overcomes his fears and gets out of the boat. I would encourage you to have the outline in front of you. And you notice that there's a note there that a number of these points are adopted from an author by the name of John Ortberg. Some are original, some are his. The illustrations are mine. The Bible is God's. The bits in between, I'm not so sure about at this stage. But the first thing I want to say is that water walkers recognise God's presence. Now, these were seasoned sailors. They were fishermen by trade, and so it was something that they were very familiar with in terms of going out to fish at night. We know they're professionals because it's the fourth watch of the morning, so it's about 3 a.m. But even seasoned sailors get terrified and scared at times, and this was such an occasion. A big storm had blown up, a storm to beat all storms. And we understand that they're far from shore. They're in the middle of the lake. Too far out to easily turn around and return to the shore. Too far away from the opposite shore to be able to make it in good distance. And here they are being swamped by the wind and the waves and the rain. And they're fearing for their very lives. I'm going to learn a bit about how physically challenged I am, I think, in this message this morning. A number of summers ago, I went away with some mates and we took some kayaks, which sounds great. They could go in smooth lines and just point in the direction they wanted to go, but not me. All I seemed to be able to do was to go round and round in circles. And so Fab had an activity after one Sunday recently where they're going to go out in kayaks. I thought, yeah, perhaps I might pass on that. There was moments when I thought when I'm in this canoe, it'd be easier actually to get out of the boat and to swim to shore, But then I'm thinking that that may not be so easy because I would have to tow the canoe as well. But I guess there are times when we are challenged. And here we understand that this night that the disciples are swamped. And I understand that when a boat is swamped, it's literally just going round and round in circles, going nowhere fast. So it's no surprise that when they first saw Jesus walking across the lake, they thought he was a ghost. Who wouldn't? Who's ever heard of a man walking on water? And what other phenomenon would you have to kind of explain it or relate to? But Jesus says in verse 27, "Don't be afraid, take courage, it is I." That "it is I" is kind of shorthand for saying, "I am God, I am divine." It's a special reference that he uses for himself. In Mark's Gospel, we read a phrase intended to pass them by. It's actually a technical phrase which refers to a theophany. A theophany is a divine moment when God reveals himself to them in a special way. And this is what we see here. Jesus is about to pass them by. And so when Moses hides his face in the cleft, because no man has ever seen the face of God and lived, it is to get ready because God is about to pass him by. Or when Elijah is told to stand on the mountain, again we read those words, "For the Lord is about to pass him by." What better moment, what better choice of timing for the Lord to reveal himself than at this moment when they're caught in this storm and the waves are overcoming them and they're scared for their lives. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, take courage, it is I." I'm sure we know that God is with us when things are going well. In fact, we're tempted in those moments to forget about God because we can kind of live on our own resources. Things are going well, they're going smoothly. But what about during life's crises? During that fourth watch of the night at 3 a.m. when we're wide awake because our fears are overwhelming us and we're being overcome by the storm. What about them? It strikes me that in those moments we most need to be reminded of God's presence and that God is with us. But then next, water walkers ask for wisdom. You see, before you get out of the boat, you need to ask for wisdom. It's like me that day with my mates on the lake, just going round and round in circles, going nowhere. Before I jumped out of the boat, thinking that would be the easiest way to get back to shore, I needed to stop and ponder and think about it. Was this the best course of action? I could tire easy. I would find that I was stuck in the water outside of the canoe, still not going anywhere quick. And the same is true for Peter here. In verse 28 we read, he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now we may see that as being a moment of doubt for Peter. If it is you, prove yourself, show yourself. But I think it's more Peter asking for wisdom. We often think of him as being the impetuous one, the one who's always putting his foot in his mouth. But here we see that Peter is pausing and saying, "If it is you, ask me to come to you." Thirdly, there comes a time when you need to get out of the boat. Now, as I said, I'm not good at heights. Perhaps it's from when, as a child, I fell off a waterfall. That's another story for another day. My father thought of me as being rather clumsy. But there has come that moment when you've actually got to get out of the boat. We can hypothesise about it. We can form a committee. We can pray. We can discuss it with friends. We can get wisdom from others. But there does come a moment when we need to step out. You know the most awkward moment for me in abseiling? It's not when you're kind of backed up on the edge. Well, that's terrifying, but still, it's not the worst. It's not even when you're kind of perpendicular and having to walk yourself down. It's actually when you're leaning back and kind of using your heels as that fulcrum. That, to me, seems the most unnatural moment. It's kind of the difference between, no, I'll just be sensible here and stay on the top, or, no, I'm committed, I'm out of the boat, here we go. For better or for worse, I'm committed to this. And I wonder what was the most awkward moment for Peter. Was it standing up in the boat? Was it actually being on the water? I think it was probably when he stepped on the side of the boat, I might have to hang on here, and put one leg out, ready to walk on that water. I think for him that may have been the most awkward time. But of course there does come a moment when we need to take action, when we need to step out of our comfort zones, what can be our boat, and step into something new, to take that risk and to walk towards Jesus. Fourthly, water walkers accept fear is the price of growth. We never admire Peter more, do we, than when he's actually on the water, walking. I mean, that's amazing. Think of it. I bet none of us have tried that before. even with our floaties. And he had success. He was doing it. He was in the moment. But then something changed. When he looked down at the waves, he suddenly began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, save me." What happened in that moment? Well, we know what happened. He took his eyes off the Lord. He was fine while he was looking to Jesus. But once as he looked around at his circumstances, that's when he began to sink. Now, the storm hadn't abated any that time. The storm was as fierce as it was when they were all in the boat together, when Jesus walked across the water towards them. But he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. But we also need to appreciate that Fear is the price of growth, and that failure is never final with the Lord. Peter surely learnt this or appreciated this more than anyone. He was the one who confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord at Caesarea Philippi, only in the next moment to deny him the way of the cross and his suffering. But when it came to the cross, and Peter said, "Others may deny you, but I will never deny you," to deny him not once or twice, but three times. Peter knew the price of failure. And yet at the end of John's Gospel, we read of a beautiful scene where Jesus restores him so lovingly. "Go and feed my sheep." And fear can often be the price of growth. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." There was the story of Sir Edmund Hillary, who, of course, famously scaled the peaks of Mount Everest. But he had a number of failed attempts before he was successful. Now, this story says that on one occasion when he failed, he stood at the foot of the mountain and screamed out to the mountain, "You're as big as you're going to get, but I'm still growing." Next, we see water walkers see failure as an excuse for a hands up. As Peter cried out, "Lord, save me," immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith. Why do you doubt me?" It's interesting, we don't accuse the Lord of being cold or cruel or callous. After all, it was Peter who asked if he could come out. In a sense, Peter initiated this. But why is that? Surely because we know that Jesus is already there, always there, ready to save us and to rescue us in that time of trouble. Even though God may seem silent in times of our lives, Jesus is there. He's always ready at hand. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, we said, "And lo, I am with you always." Doesn't the Bible teach us that when we are tempted, that the Lord will give us a way out so that we can stand? Or in 1 Peter, we are told that we are to cast away our concerns, our worries, our stresses upon him, because he is strong, he can bear the weight. Jesus is there for us. Failure can seem so humiliating, but it's also a chance for a hands up. And we read these delightful words, "And Jesus caught him." Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. His grip was strong. Delightful words, aren't they? To know that God is there ready to catch us when we fail. And then water walkers learn to wait on the Lord. It's interesting that when Jesus got into the boat, suddenly all the wind and the waves died down. Why that moment? Surely he could have done it as he was walking out. It would have made it easier for him as well. We don't know. Perhaps it was to test their faith. But God is sovereign. And likewise in our lives, we'll go through moments when God seems as if he is far away. I start as a chaplain at North Lakes High School next week on Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it. I have lots of stories to tell next weekend. But as some of you would know, I accepted voluntary redundancy, had something to do with a special decade birthday last June, and was living on the proceeds of that redundancy for a number of months. But come the new year, I kind of just start looking around for a job. Wanted something part-time. I'm still in that semi-retirement phase and enjoying that. But nothing seemed to turn up. Had a conversation with a local pastor and there was an associate role, thought this would be good. Considered stepping into interim ministries, but nothing was available. Looked at customer services roles, but all the doors were closed. Nothing. And people would say, "The Lord will provide," they'd send a text, but I'm kind of thinking, "Yeah, well, you know, sooner rather than later would be nice, Lord." I'm getting a little bit desperate at this point. But of course the Lord does provide, and he has provided. But there are moments in our life when we need to learn what it is to wait upon God. to wait upon him. And I've learned over the years, being between various pastorates at times, I guess, that as much I would say I'd like the Lord's timing to match my timing, that it's always God's timing. We need to learn to trust in him and to wait. And finally, point number 8. Water walking brings a deeper connection with God. It's interesting, Jesus' first words to them when he said, take courage, don't be afraid, it is I. And it's also interesting to read of the disciples' reaction when Jesus stepped into that boat. He says, they say, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. In Mark's Gospel, we read they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And it seems kind of ironic that their natural fear of the wind and the waves and this storm seems to be replaced by this fear of the one who stands in their midst, who has this power over nature. And that fear is the greater. And yet we can see how it leads to worship. Acknowledging that he is God, that he is in their midst, they bow down and worship him. And sometimes in life's trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, the waiting, the best thing we can do is to learn to wait upon God and to trust in him. Who's heard of the name Horatio? It's not a name that many of us would use to call our kids these days. And yet I'm amazed the names that are kind of coming around again. My youngest grand-nephew is called Percival. And, wondering how he'd go on at school. But there's a lot of old-fashioned names which are kind of making a reappearance. But Horatio Spafford wrote a well-known hymn. And the story's told that he wrote this hymn as he was standing on the shore where the boat that was carrying his wife and 4 daughters sunk. Travelling from the US to England. And when the boat arrived, his wife sent a telegram saying, saved alone. And as we hear the words of these first lines of this hymn, you can kind of imagine him or picture him standing on that shoreline, watching the waves. He says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's pray. Our Father God, we all need moments when our faith needs to be bolstered, and we need to learn again what it is to trust in you. You are the great I am. You are the one that you call us to worship you and to lift our hands in praise and give thanks for your goodness and your graciousness to us. But there are moments when we doubt, there are moments when we question, there are moments when we get frustrated. And yet remind us, Father, that you're always present, you're always there, always ready to catch us. And Father, again, I would pray that you would challenge us to get out of the boat, to look to you and to trust in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Wyong Baptist Church's podcast of our Sunday messages. We trust you've been blessed by this message. To find out more about Wyong Baptist, check out our website www.wyongbaptist.org.